Good morning. It's a great pleasure to be here again in the house of the Lord, and I deem it an extreme privilege and honor to speak again once to you this morning. As we all know, the church is one of the church's biggest duties in the world is to preach Christ crucified, and I hope I can accomplish that for you this morning. I've entitled my lesson, The Emotional Sufferings of Jesus. And the text comes from Luke, the 22nd chapter and verse 44, where the Bible says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." The dictionary defines agony as extreme and prolonged pain, intense physical or mental suffering, anguish, misery, passion, torment, torture, woe, affliction, or intense distress. It comes from the Greek word agonia, which is defined as a struggle for victory or a severe mental struggle in emotions. Our Lord's suffering very likely began soon after the Last Supper when Jesus and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says that Jesus was in such agony in anticipation of what he was about to endure that he sweat blood. Knowing that his time of death was near, Jesus prayed intently. Medical literature tells us that bloody sweat, known as hematidrosis, can occur. This condition is seen in rare instances of extreme emotional pain and stress. The resulting blood loss is not severe, but it does cause the skin to be very tender, making what was to come even more painful. It is a condition in which the blood vessels that supply the sweat glands rupture, causing them to emit blood. This can occur under extreme emotional stress. That's the trigger, extreme emotional stress. So this tells us that Jesus was fully aware, fully conscious as the Son of God of the unbearable pain and suffering he was about to endure. My wish this morning is to edify you with some thoughts of Jesus Christ's emotional and mental sufferings to help you meditate while taking the Lord's Supper. Later this morning, we will partake of the Lord's Supper, and as we do, we will push aside all the cares of this world and concentrate on Jesus, his sinless life, his unspeakable love for us to suffer the cross. Sometimes the crucifixion becomes just a physical image in our minds. Meditating upon the cross is so much more than the scourging, the nails that pierced his side, his hands and his feet, the thorns on his head, and even the cross upon which he hung. In fact, this was only about half of the anguish Jesus endured. The other half was the pain endured in his heart. And this is what I'd like to speak this morning to you. But before we do, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. Why don't you humble yourselves as we pray. Agony is only found once in the Bible, and it is here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 44, where it is used of our Lord. Interestingly, Gethsemane means olive press. Thayer says it's an oil press. Near the garden was an olive grove, and it was probably in this garden that the olive oil was pressed out of the olives. It is here that Jesus prays for God to come out. It was probably in this garden that the olive oil was pressed out of the olives. It is here that Jesus prays for God to let this cup pass from him. He prays so fervently and in such deep anguish that great drops of blood came out of his skin. Jesus was being pressed like an olive. This garden was the place that Jesus would feel the crushing weight of the things yet to come. So much so that an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus was gripped by unbounded terror, unbounded horror and suffering, the force of which drives him first to his knees, then face down upon the ground. He prayed fervently with torment so utterly overwhelming that his heavenly Father dispatched an angelic attendant to strengthen him. We find that in the previous, the verse before the text, Luke 22 and 43. For his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. Physicians tell us that this is entirely possible when a person is under extreme amounts of stress and pressure. Imagine now being Jesus, never having sinned, never having known the pain and fear of guilt, never having felt hatred or lust, now having the torrential flood of all the sins of the world placed upon him in a very few short hours. Every hateful word, every bad thought that has ever been thought, every adulterous affair, every deceitful act, every lie, every act of theft or bribery, every whisper of gossip, every murder, every profanity, every act of disloyalty to wife, husband, or boss, every disobedient act of children to their mother, father, or teacher, all sin of all the world, of all time, was placed on Jesus all at once. Jesus took it all. He who have never experienced the pain of sin took it all at once in a torrential downpour. It was beyond anything that we can describe or even understand. He experienced extreme agony as a result of taking all the sins of the people in all the world throughout all history. The combined sins of the world, of all the accumulated sins of everyone who had ever lived and everyone who would ever live, were laid on the one individual who never experienced sin. Knowing this, Jesus cried. Hebrews 5 and 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying in tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Yes, Jesus cried. He wept bitterly. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, starting verses 3 through 7, we've heard these read and talked about on many occasions. I'd like to start off by going to that passage, in starting in verse 3 of Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus' physical pain was far greater than most of us will ever be called upon to endure. Crucifixion was widely seen as the cruelest method of execution, and his emotional and mental suffering must have been just as intense. As horrible as his physical suffering was, we must understand it has paled in comparison to the suffering he endured in his heart, as he took upon himself the sins of the world and was separated from his Father. This is indeed love beyond compare. I do not know where Jesus started to first feel his great sorrow, but the injustice that was about to happen to him occurred in a city that was so dear to his heart. Luke 13 and 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus was despised. In verse 3, the Bible says he was despised and rejected of men. Despised is defined as being regarded with contempt, to be vile and worthless, to be considered as distasteful and disgusting. Jesus was also rejected. Rejected is defined as to be discarded as useless, or refusal to be taken or have, or to be cast out. Jesus was cast out of Jerusalem, and he, of course, we know he was forcibly marched to Calvary. Jesus was rejected by his own people. He came to save his own people, and most of them told him to get lost. In verse 4 in Isaiah 53, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus was a man of sorrows, a very correct name for the title of our suffering Savior, a man with all the sins of the world on his shoulders. Jesus was stricken and smitten. Stricken is defined as characterized by showing the effects of affliction, trouble, misfortune, a mental blow. Smitten is defined as grievously or disastrously stricken or afflicted. Jesus was afflicted, bore our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. Grieved is defined as deeply sorrowed, exceedingly sad. Afflicted is defined as to be put down, to be depressed, to be downcast, to be humbled and weakened. Reviled is defined as to vilify, denounce, berate, criticize, castigate, blame, reprimand, and disparage. Excuse me. In the fifth verse of Isaiah 53, Jesus' emotional pain was suffered on his own people's, was suffered on his people's behalf. The reason Jesus suffered so much was because of sin. He was derided for our transgressions and reviled for our iniquities. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities physically and mentally. In verse 7, the Bible says that Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth to answer his accusers. And we know that that can be very difficult. When we are being attacked unfairly, it is natural to want to fight back and answer our accusers. And there's a time and a place for that. But ultimately, our example of Jesus is to keep silent even in the midst of being mocked, ridiculed, or afflicted. Jesus was laughed at and scorned. In Psalms, the 22nd chapter, in verse 6 and 7, the Bible reads, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that, and he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Jesus was derided. Derided is defined as being sneered at, turning up the nose at, or to be scoffed or mocked. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 35, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." Jesus was also troubled in spirit. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." John 13 and 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Troubled in spirit is defined as a disturbance of mental calm and contentment, to be mentally tormented, terrified and vexed by mental distress, disappointment, and shame. Next, Jesus was betrayed by a friend with a kiss. Matthew 26 and 48, Jesus was betrayed by his close friend Judas. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Judas was one of Jesus' chosen apostles. Jesus spent many hours teaching his apostles and building relationships with each one of them. When the time of betrayal became, it was none other than one of his very own disciples, his apostle. Judas made the sign of his betrayal a kiss. Judas had informed soldiers that the man he would kiss would be this Jesus that they came to arrest. Even Judas' betrayal must have stung our Lord's heart. The Bible teaches us that Jesus genuinely considered Judas a friend. In Psalms 41 and 9, "Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." It was Jesus' own friend that betrayed him unto death. How sad. Psalms 55 describes it this way, starting in verse 12. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, that I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hateth me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Additionally, when the betrayal occurred, no one stayed by his side, and they all forsook him. Jesus was forsaken, and Jesus was abandoned. In Matthew 26 and 31, then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Jesus was abandoned by all his disciples after being betrayed. Matthew 26, and starting in verse 55. In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus' friends failed him when he needed them the most. If that isn't enough, look what one of his inner circle of friends did. Jesus was denied. The Apostle Peter denied even knowing Jesus in Matthew 26, starting in verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out of the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus was not denied once or twice, but three times by one of his closest apostles. In Psalms 23 and 11 says, Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. From the moment of the first trial unto his very death, he was insulted. Jesus was insulted in every way imaginable. He was slapped, mocked, and paraded by people who were pretenders. Jesus was also shamed. Jesus' mental anguish continued as he was crucified immodestly. Jesus was most likely crucified naked or partially naked at the very least, for he was shamed. Mark 15 and 24. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. Many believe the garment in question was probably made for him by his mother, yet he watched that garment being defiled as he hung naked before a Passover crowd, his friends and his very mother. He also was hanging naked in front of his heavenly Father, who had to turn his back on him as well. So Jesus was definitely shamed at Calvary. He was mocked, as we know Jesus was mocked. While on the cross, Jesus was cruelly mocked and reviled by those passing by. Matthew 27 and 29, then they knelt in front of him and mocked him, Hail, King of the Jews. Mocked is defined as to assault with contemptuous language, to address or speak of abusively, debasing, defamatory, despiteful, disgracing, dishonoring, using humiliating words. They called him every name. The chief priests, scribes, and elders kept stirring up the crowd, saying, He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we shall believe in him. He trusts in God, let him deliver him now, if he takes pleasure in them, for he said, I am the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, reminds us of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness at the beginning of his mystery, back in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and also verse 6. If you really are God's Son, then free yourself and come down from the cross. So these chief priests and scribes and elders were mocking Jesus just as Satan mocked him when he tried to tempt him in the wilderness. The humiliation of the crucifixion would be bad enough, but the passerbys came up hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. These spectators that were coming and going from the city made good of their insults and kept up their blasphemy of Jesus. The moving by nodding the head toward the cross with a contemptuous gesture of scorn and insult, they sneeringly suggested that this was the end of the Messiah. To show their derision, they tossed their heads at him as an insult. They had waited 1,000 years for the arrival of the King of the Jews, and when he came, they crucified him. What an insult to the King of Glory. To add insult to injury, a banner was placed over his head. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, mocking him. They showed their contempt and hatred by spitting on his naked body, took the reed and began to continually beat him on the head. They insulted the King of Kings by putting a stick in his hand as a royal scepter. After they mocked him, they took his robe off and put his garments on him and laid him away to crucify him. Look how the psalmist describes this in Psalms 22 and 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Psalms 57 and 4 describes the same moment. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Matthew 28 describes the scene this way in verse 39 and 40. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and build it in 3 days. Jesus was railed upon. Another example is in Mark 15 chapter, verse 29 and 30. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Repetitively, these people antagonized and mocked and ridiculed Jesus while he hung on the cross. Mark 15 reminds us that Jesus was mocked. He was made fun of, laughed at, and ridiculed. Soldiers put a royal cloak on him and saluted him, bowed to him, and then they spit on him and struck him with a reed. After he was hung on the cross, passerbyers derided him. The religious leaders reviled him. Soldiers, religious leaders, the people, they all rejected him. And to top it off, Jesus was forsaken by God the Father. I cannot fathom the pressure of Jesus' heart in that moment. Jesus was falsely accused, as we know, Matthew 26 and 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none, and the last came two false witnesses. False witnesses rose up against Jesus to spread lies and slander, in order to have him killed. Have you ever been falsely accused? There are many depressing feelings that come with that, that manifest themselves in your mind and your heart when you are, and they stay there. Mark 14 and 45, for many bear false witnesses against him, but their witness agreed not together. We should never take lightly what it cost Jesus to purchase our salvation. His physical and emotional sufferings were only indications of a far deeper suffering, the suffering of his soul for you and me. Why did he do it? He did it for one reason, because he loves us. We don't deserve it, but he loves us anyway. The Bible says here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4 and 10. It is hard to imagine how difficult it would have been to endure what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. The emotional suffering at its peak already taking a heavy toll on him physically. Sometimes physical pain is much easier to endure than the emotional. At the conclusion of all things, suffering, I guess, is suffering. Jesus chose to die. He willingly gave up his life when his work was done. We would all do well to remember that at any point, Jesus could have stopped the terrible torture that he suffered. He endured it because he loves us despite our unworthiness. Since Christ actually took our place in suffering, or took our place in bearing the wrath of God, This means that he bore the full force of God's wrath. He suffered the equivalent of eternity in hell for every sinner. Some do not understand how this can be possible because they do not understand the nature of Christ's suffering. It included not just the moment of death, but all of the torture, all of the anguish that he began to suffer at least as early as the Garden of Gethsemane. But even as intense as this was, if this were all that Jesus suffered, we still might wonder how that could be the equivalent of the eternal punishment of the whole human race. After all, there were others who went through this kind of torture, both before and after Christ. And many Christian martyrs endured untold cruelties at the hands of sadistic pagans. So what was different about Jesus' suffering? The difference lies mainly in the spiritual agony that he bore. While Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in anguish to the point of even asking the Father if there was any other way it could be done. But then we know Jesus accepted the cup of suffering. Jesus wasn't in anguish over the fact that he knew how much physical and emotional pain he was going to have to go through. It was because he knew he was going to, for the first time in eternity, have his fellowship with the Father severed. Knowing that was almost too much for him to endure. Even though he knew the suffering of fellowship from God was going to be brief, it was a pain that he could not fathom and did not want to have to experience if there were any other way to save all of mankind. Out of all the pain and torture he went through physically, God turning his face from Jesus was the only thing that made him cry out loud. This passage also shows that our sins sever our fellowship with God. If we have unrepented sins in our lives, each of those severs our relationship with God more and more. That's why repentance of each individual sin, the Holy Spirit convicts you and me of, is so important. Repenting of those sins breaks down those walls of sins have placed before God, and then God's glory can finally shine through in our lives. It's important to repent of each individual sin, not just say, forgive my sins. He wants us to admit, he wants us to admit each one as it is brought to our consciousness. The severing of fellowship with God that brings, that sin brings was never so clear as it was on the cross. As the sins of the world came upon Jesus, God turned his face away, severing fellowship with his Son, causing Jesus to cry aloud in anguish and agony. Jesus was brokenhearted and full of heaviness. Psalm 69:20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Jesus' heart was broken. He was full of heaviness. No one to take pity for him. No one to comfort him. The only exception was his mother and brother John at the cross, where they pitied him there. And lastly, besides the emotional suffering of Jesus, I briefly touched on it just a little while ago, let us be mindful of the spiritual suffering of Jesus Christ. The greatest suffering that Jesus experienced in his passion was not physical or emotional, it was spiritual. Think of it, he had experienced eternally a perfect fellowship of love with God the Father. Then suddenly that sweet communion was broken because your sin and mine were placed on Jesus, and the wrath of God which we deserve was poured out on the Son. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, that is God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was accursed of God. Deuteronomy 21:23, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth for an inheritance. According to Jewish law, anyone who was crucified was considered cursed of God. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, which made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And finally, Jesus was forsaken. The physical and emotional suffering doesn't tell all the story. There was an intense spiritual suffering on the cross. It was about 3 p.m. when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Matthew 27:46. The word forsaken here means to leave down, to leave, down in. Hence it means to forsake someone in a state of defeat or helplessness, or in the midst of hostile circumstances. It has the idea of leaving someone, abandoning them, deserting them, leaving in straits, to leave helpless or to let one down. It is the anguish of God forsakenness. Jesus was totally abandoned and utterly forsaken. During his whole life up to this point, Jesus enjoyed a unique, one-of-a-kind fellowship with his heavenly Father. And now in his death, there is total abandonment by his Father. Jesus Christ was made sin. Jesus is holy and righteous. And God cannot bear to look upon sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. On Jesus fell the consequences of your sin and mine. God made him our representative for sin, and he died in our place. Christ's spiritual suffering was more severe than his physical pain because all the sins of the world were placed on him. And he endured that punishment and hell that we deserve. He was the divine Son of God, and from all eternity, he had known nothing but unbroken fellowship with his Father. But on the cross, that fellowship was broken. And that is why, no wonder, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus' fellowship with God the Father was broken. Jesus cried out to God because he felt separated from him. Jesus took our pain, and he suffered in our place. Jesus endured all this for you and me. And he's the same one that said that we must hear his word, believe that he is Jesus, the Son of the living God. Jesus said we must repent of our sins, confess him before men, and be baptized in a watery grave of baptism if we're looking to be saved. Jesus suffered something worse than all the terrible physical and emotional sufferings. Jesus suffered spiritually during the hours of darkness when God the Father turned away from him. That's my lesson this morning. I hope that helps you in your meditation. When we tarry for one another at the Lord's table, I hope it helps you in your daily thoughts of Jesus Christ and what he did for you and me and how he did it. There's no man ever that has suffered as much as our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, what he's done for us, because all this is flat out overwhelming. There'd be one this morning.